Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough. Keep the faith. Get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. I'm going to be interviewing today Jeannie Jess, the Visionary Success Strategist. And you can go to the webpage on Cosmic Love and see her website at visionariesuniversity.org. We're going to be discussing today the several subjects that are dear to her heart and kind of her visionary statement, her foresight for the year 2009. And I'm going to be going into dimensions of that with how to reboot the divine in 2009 with thought forms and conscious processes for involving and evolving consciousness of how we're conscious. So, Jeannie's going to be on here shortly. Jeannie, are you there yet?
I'm here.
Hi, Jeannie.
Janine, yes?
And I'm looking forward to this today. I've been really getting into this subject of personal and planetary transformation.
Well, it's an important time to be involved in that.
There's two speakers I've had on this last year that have used that word transformation. And I played around with that in an article, an introductory article I've got on the website today at Cosmic Love. And I wanted to ask you about this. I've been thinking a lot recently about what's going on with this accelerated rate of change in through what they call the 2012 zero point, and how the rate of change is accelerating in for different reasons, and that there's a linear understanding of time, and then there's a nonlinear understanding of time, and we're moving towards that nonlinear understanding where the past and future, you might say past memories and what some people call future memory. The veil is thinning in that regard, and people are having records from the past come into their here-now consciousness, and they're having visions of the future like never before. You know, there's that prophecy in the scripture about your men shall dreams, or what is it, something like that. It's, you know, that people will be, you know, in these times that there will be, people will be having visions and of the future, and basically the veil thinning in regard to both past and future. So I've been playing around with that, and the couple other people have had on the show talking about transformation. There was two kinds they were referring to. One was subconscious, and one was superconscious. Subconscious being memories, emotional hooks from the past that impinge into the present, and there's kind of a trance state, so to speak, when those records, some people would say even in a meditation state, you know, that the things would bubble up, you know, past records into the present. And there's that always also that concept of the superconscious or supraconscious, where the timeline into the future, there's like an intuitive leap, and people have an intuitive sense. And there's a book on this called Future Memory that's really astounding about people who have had, you know, foreseen events that just happened just amazingly, and how that works with, again, the thinning of the timeline to where people remember the future, you might say.
Well, and what I've been seeing, too, is as people's life activities have accelerated, we talked about multitasking for the last 10, 15 years, but I really think there's just so much happening so fast these days that people don't have time to live in that linear place of looking backward and looking forward. They're almost being forced to live in the now moment.
Yeah. Well, there's that fast track thing that's going on with people, you know, in the fast lane, where that's, and they're multitasking on the cell phone while they're driving and processing, you know, other things at the same time. And then there's the people that when they get out of that for a moment, then all of a sudden, if they're not doing that, if their consciousness isn't totally preoccupied with multiple things at once, and they get still for a moment, that's when they get flooded with, when I say the thinning of the veil, it's like they get flooded with past and future, and there's just a lot of stuff coming through right now.
Well, I have a question for you, since I'm sitting here in Laguna Beach, and that is halfway between L.A. and San Diego, and we have 23 million people from Ventura to San Diego, which is roughly a 100-mile radius.
Yeah.
And so when I moved here almost 30 years ago now from Chicago, I was told that this area was really laid back, you know, and it's just a different kind of way that people move themselves through their daily activities. It's not laid back at all. And if you go to what you were just talking about, which is consciousness, we're sitting in here being hit by these thought forms of all of these people. And I keep saying, I think it's really, really important now that people become really, really conscious of the impact of other people's thoughts and feelings on our own health, on our relationships, on, you know, how we feel.
Yeah, and how to
so
make...
what's going on in Montana? Because it's the slower pace there. What do you see
in contrast
to what I just described?
There's a several things that go on with location and altitude. One is there's a certain frenzy whenever you're in a metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, in the collective consciousness, you've got, or, you know, you might say the collective unconscious, you've got a lot of stuff going on that is just a frenzy. And there's a level of imperil that's going on in the world right now because people are hurting. You know, there's a certain fear matrix that's out there. But there's a thing of the, when you're at sea level, which you are pretty much,
mm-hmm.
you
well,
tie
I'm right
in,
here. You got that right.
And you tie into basically a collective consciousness at that level all over the planet.
Oh.
And there's a principle, I don't know if you ever heard this concept of, you know, and I know it's true for me, that I get some of my best ideas cruising at 33,000 feet, you know, in an airplane. And it's true, there's as you get into the higher etheric levels of the planet, you might say, the higher altitude, there is a thing that corresponds to a frequency level at different altitudes. You kind of tie into... like you're at that level of the ocean of vibrational actuality where the teeming masses are worldwide. And so there's stratum of energies, you know, on the planet. And it has also to do with, I mean, there's more oxygen, obviously, at the ocean level than here in Montana. You know, I'm a mile high.
Hmm.
And there's different energies that's layered in that regard. But the real dynamic that the whole world is dealing with now is the veil thins, is that people at all levels are feeling more of what everyone else is feeling at other levels.
Well, and what I'm cautioning people about, and I just, in fact, got off the phone with a client about a half hour ago, and her neighbor next door is in the deathing process with cancer.
Yeah.
And she was saying how now she's got sciatica pain, and she's got this pain, and now she's got bronchitis, and I asked her if she had zipped up her energy field, which is a technique that I teach, and has she been doing her heart breath, and she says, oh no, I forgot. She took his pain into her system.
Yeah.
And I said, so what's really important right now is that she started describing how wonderful it was when she knew he was always there and she could count on him and all the things that were going on in her life over the last, let's say, you know, 7 to 10 years. And she goes, now he's, and then she was just like reveling in that. And then she went into the low frequency energy. And I said, you've just taken that right into your energy system. So there's things that I'm seeing that are really, really important to do now. Because of what you're speaking of, where the veil has thinned, and we can't live the way we lived before. We must understand about energy because it's working just like the law of gravity or, you know, the law of attraction or any of these laws, whether we're aware of it or not. So our conversation about, I loved it when you put co-merge with the sublime in 2009. That was very clever. we will continue to use that affirmation. But it's like for people to understand, for your listeners to understand the energies of 2009, I think is just so important right now. And some of the key things that we're going to be dealing with, whether we're conscious or unconscious, that are just the energetics of this year. And if we can become conscious of them, what will happen is we will make better choices.
And I think that part of that discipline is, it's kind of paradoxical, where you want to be kind of independent, where you're not in a sympathy or coherence with fear and misqualified energies, but you want to be interdependent with basically, your higher self, your real self, your Christ self, your, you know, I am presence, whatever people refer to it as.
Right.
And that discipline you have, that exercise of zipping up one's energy. Could you repeat that for the people on the show?
Yes, I sure will. What I have people do is to just pretend they have a zipper. If you're sitting down, just like you'd be zipping up, you know, a snow jacket or something. And I like to take the index thumb and middle finger, or three fingers, and just go right up the center of our body, and between the breasts, up along the neck, up along above the lips, and up to the forehead. And what that does is it holds the energy inside of our system.
So
one of my clients said to me the other day, "Oh, I have plenty of energy. I have so much enthusiasm." I said, "Enthusiasm and energy are two different worlds, and the energy, our bodies are leaking energy. So the master
consuming
energy point is the body is right just up in the chest, just up above the breast, and when you take that and zip it up, it holds the energy inside of our own energy system.
You mean like the heart chakra above?
Yeah.
You know, I know some other teachings that get into, you know, the chakras and the human aura,
mm-hmm.
and how important it is to seal the aura, and they have different visualizations for it, you know, the ovoid of light around the body, and in some of them do, you know, a visualization of a cosmic cube with the ovoid of light in it, and they go, you know, before, behind, right, left, above, and below, and they visualize themselves in this field, and it's part of its visualization of the force field. But I think the physical thing, I know some other disciplines do a thing where they'll move the hand up and over the crown chakra,
uh-huh.
and kind of down the back and over the neck, you know, for the sealing and the protection of the energies in the upper chakras.
Well, this one works with the main meridian pathway and where the energy flows through our system.
Uh-huh.
And it's the central meridian point. And just by doing that, people will begin to calm down. When I was on your program the first time, we were talking about economics and the financial storm that was going on and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And what I've seen now since that time is people are having all kinds of physical symptoms of stress, from fear, the headaches, the inability to sleep, all kinds of body aches, and can't think, and just a whole list of symptoms which are due to too much adrenaline pumping into the system when we're hanging out in fear. So it's just really, really important to get in our bodies. One of my dear colleague friends on the East Coast says we used to before we'd say, "Beam me up, Scotty."
Beam me up, Scotty, yeah.
Now he's saying, "Beam me down, Scotty." And it's really important to become really conscious of our bodies and call our spirit into our bodies so that we have that interdependence within our systems.
Yeah.
And
well, you have another a discipline exercise that is like getting centered and connected within the heart.
Yeah. And if people will just do these two, and I keep saying they don't cost any money and they don't take much time, but they do make a really big difference.
Oh, I believe that. I've heard this, actually, different versions of this, and this, these what you're referring to is a very lucid, clear, practical way of doing that. And centering in the heart with the breath exercise is classic. I mean,
yeah, I actually started this because I was working in corporations and I couldn't take the people into a meditation because it just really wasn't approved.
Right.
So I would just ask them before we did a values clarification five-way test, I had to get them out of their head because it wasn't a thinking process.
Right.
And I would just say, just put your hand on your heart, your hands on your heart, and let's just breathe in and out, and I would have them do that with me. And then, I mean, I've been doing this since the early 90s, and then I began to get understanding of what we were really doing, and now I have, maybe it'll even become greater with time, but it's just amazing what this exercise does. And I think the you know, we've got two major diseases in American society, and I think they're pretty well tied now between heart trouble and cancers.
Yeah, and when you say dis-ease, it is a discord.
Yes, we're out of vibrational frequency. We're out of harmony.
Right.
And so one of the things that I've observed, and it started with my own self because I just lived in my German head, but we've worshipped science and the mind and
right.
the intellect for 500 years. So we breathe in through our nose, and it creates a huge ball of energy on our shoulders. But then when we go down to the heart area, it's just like really like a string of thread. And then when we get to the solar plexus and the lower three chakras, what happens is that's huge because that we're still connected to the tribal energies. So
yeah.
By doing this heart exercise and getting out of our heads and where there is no wisdom and activating our whole heart center, it just really makes a difference. So for the listeners, I would like to just take them through, I don't know, 60 seconds of just doing this. So if the way that we do is just close your eyes, and take a deep breath in through your nose or your mouth, I don't care which. Take a deep breath and notice where your hands are on your rib cage and your heart as that expands, and then release the breath and notice the whole rib cage as it contracts and contracts, and then take in a deep breath, keeping your attention on your hands as your rib cage expands and your heart, your hands move, and then release that breath. And notice your rib cage as it contracts and contracts, and then big breath in, and then release.
So basically, you're saying centering your attention in your heart area.
Absolutely, especially if you're feeling fear,
yeah.
or if you're feeling what I call cattywampus, where you've picked up other energies, you're just not feeling centered and grounded. This gal that I just talked to, I said, go do 50 or 100 breaths, and on the inhale you count 1, on the exhale you count 2, on the inhale 3, exhale 4, and if people will do 50, 100, or count to 200, they will be just like tuning a piano. You will have tuned your own body, and your whole heart, body, mind, spirit will be in sync, and then when you go to do things, it'll just go click, 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 click.
I like what you said about there's no wisdom in the head.
Oh.
And I've heard that expression, there's no smart without heart.
Yes, we must think with our hearts, but this is not an easy thing to do. And for 500 years, we've been, you know, promoting, you know, thinking and
yeah.
thinking and thinking.
Yeah,
so.
And there's a lot of mental cases out there. What I say that is that There's not a discipline in formal education for education of the heart,
right?
And it's just not there. It's not part of the paradigm.
Yes,
and I really think that is the sea change, this huge shift into Aquarius. You know, and I've got that one chart on this. It's the galactic shift chart. It's in that one link on the website. That goes into a huge paradigm shift in energies, which is difficult to talk about. It's like talking about the internet before the internet. You know, people would think you were nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and but at the same time, there's an energetic change in a whole different way of thinking with feeling, and there's I like that expression. You know, when people are talking about men from Mars and women are from Venus, and how men feel with their minds, and women think with their feelings.
And I'm suggesting this year that we get rid of all those polarized
right.
ideas.
As
we become whole beings,
yeah.
we're not going to. And when we come from our souls, we're not going to be differentiating like this, because it's not. That's real when you come from your intellect or from your human material self, but just as at a soul level, we're neither male nor female.
Right, and you know? Of course, there's more and more switch hitters these days. And when I say the huge sea change is in process, I really believe this is what's happening on what I call the 2012 timeline. The accelerating there's a real acceleration. Rate of change. The rate of change is accelerating. And when I say that, it is normalizing. It's normalizing from, you might say, the extremes of the last 12,000 years and into this next 12,000 year cycle, and we're right in the cusp of it right now,
yeah.
You know, the cusp of Aquarius, which is the nexus of a 25,800 year galactic cycle, just like our solar system goes through a year, or our sun goes through we go through a year cycle in our solar system, and this larger cycle it's a major shift. I mean, it's a huge sea change, and there's this normalizing and equalizing, and this understanding of a higher understanding of the male, the divine feminine, the divine masculine
exactly.
within us, and that balance, that sense of being able to be, when I say a switch hitter, you know, to do both, you know, to basically...
Well, to flow the energies just like the yin and yang sign.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
And, of course, Jung referred to being individualized, where you could have the type of mastery that any of the, what he, you know, the four archetypes of consciousness, and, of course, the Native peoples talked about fire, air, water, and earth, or the four winds is what the Indians would refer to. But it's, you know, the thinking, feeling, sensing, and knowing, you know, the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, you know, have that ability when you're individualized to, even though people tend to be one or the other, they tend to be dominant in one of the, you know,
right.
Or the other.
One or two.
Or one or with a minor is actually the way he referred to it as. You have a major and a minor. But at the same time, individualized is, and this is as people are becoming more centered, connected, and otherwise balanced, they're being able to go to either, any one of them and be fully present from the perspective. And it's like the gift of speaking in tongues. When you're talking to someone and you tune into their ability and or, you know, their languaging style, and are able to talk to them in the language as though they were speaking to themselves with that type of sensitivity. And that's what I mean by individualized.
So can we talk to our listeners now about what they can expect in 2009?
Yes.
Because I think it's really really helpful to understand those energies. So the year of co-mergence, and that is a word that I'm using is what I call the umbrella word. Last year we started a new 9-year cycle. So in explaining this, so if anyone wants to call in and ask us questions, we welcome that. In our normal world, we think of decades from 70 to 80, 80s to the 90s, 90s to 2000, and so on. But the way I look at life is from 9-year cycles, and it has to do with numerology. And so each year has an energy, and whether we're conscious of it or not, all 6.5 billion souls on this planet are working with that energy. And so last year was the beginning of a new 9-year cycle, and I called last year the year of venturosity. And so it was a time for whatever we had been doing to basically come into a whole new place. And so a lot of the systems got busted last year, and that was all part of the energy. So last year, many people were wanting new, they wanted creative, they wanted something different than what it had been, even if they didn't know exactly what that looked like. And so with all that raw creative energy that we called forth into the planet, what happened was we pretty much busted all the systems. And they needed to be busted. Way back in 1988, I wrote a two-cassette tape program called There's Life After BS, and it was all about how the systems were failing us, the institutions of education and politics and banking and science and all of that were failing we the people, and so they were going to be crumbling. Well, last year, I think we witnessed a major crumbling. So this year, it's a very, very different energy, and I call this year the year of co-emergence. So some of the things that we can expect this year, first of all, is to become interdependent. So if people have been dealing with or getting beyond the idea of codependence or independence, this is the year to move into interdependence. So there's going to be a lot of people experiencing final issues, shall I say, with owning their power, holding each other accountable, each person pulling their oar 100%. We're going to get out of the independently wealthy mindset and move into the interdependent mindset.
The Commonwealth.
And we're going to learn. We're going to learn things around what is the difference between oneness and sameness. And I have written here. And for any of the listeners who are interested, they can email me or call me, and I'll be glad to send them a copy of the two pages of the year of co-emergence of Vision 2009.
Oh, that'd be a treat.
Yeah. So if anyone's listening and wants that, we'll make sure that you have that information.
I should add that Janine had a conference call on this subject here about a week ago that I was on, and she has these workbook sheets on this that goes through kind of a guideline for a course that does an orientation to these principles, these processes, and I really feel resonance with your vision in this regard as I went through it. And what I see, you know, the energy in manifestation, I mean, the energetic shift and what's going on with, again, this dynamic of there's just a whole new, it's like a rebooting of since the first of the year in Obama's election. It's a combination of factors. But could you go more into the what this nine, what this year means?
The 2000...
The
you mean the numbers themselves, or
and what the well, actually, you were on track with where you were going.
Well, one of the things is we got to get rid of the Lone Ranger mindset. This is a partnership year, so one of the things that we need to do is to understand that none of us are separate. We're all like droplets of water in the ocean. And just because we have separate bodies doesn't mean that we're separate. And so that's going to be really, on the front burner this year. The other is that it's kind of like I'm teasing people and saying that it's time to have our milk and cookies and hold hands with one another. But it kind of says it. It's time for us to come out of isolation. You know, isolated in our own individual cars, I mean, why do we all need cars anyway? What if we could share a car? What if we could share a home? These are things that we're going to be looking at in this new year. And one of the things, too, that I'm really excited about is whether it's a senior or a child, anyone in between, we really need to encourage everyone this year to march to the beat of a different drummer. And,
yeah.
The other thing that we were talking about with Venus and Mars, and this year, anything that is polarized, anything that is polarized between our own ears is where we need to start.
Yeah.
So if we've got a lot of, you know, right, wrongs, good, bads, Republican, Democrat, this religion, that religion, you know, this country, that country, we need to remove any of that polarization. So it's really important for your listeners to pay attention to their own thoughts, and when they notice that they're polarized about something, well, men do that, or this is the way it's always been done, so why would we rock the boat? But, you know, it's time for people to stop all anti, anything that is against anything, and just embrace, just like a bouquet of spring flowers.
So instead of a divide and conquer energy, a cooperate and communicate.
Absolutely.
Cooperate and communicate energy.
Absolutely. So, you know, practice being against nothing. That's easier said than done. One of the things that I wrote this year was that we the people are going to challenge the media to stop polarizing and fighting everything.
Yeah.
And present information in a more loving, integrous way. So I don't know how this stuff is going to happen, but I get is the energy and some of the, you know, the quest this year is to reach new levels of interdependence. And that's first within ourselves, within our families, within our business organizations, communities, and the world. And I just got an email from one of my colleagues in Seattle this afternoon, and there's a contest put out to farmers. And the contest is how they can transform the White House lawn into an edible garden. And it's really, I am so excited. I got to send this out
that
to people.
Is so cool.
Because you can actually see these people's ideas of what the White House lawn. So if we're going to be developing our yards, you know, as we the people.
What a cool idea.
But can you just picture, tomato plants in the yard of the White House?
And you know, they could put a web camera on it so people on the internet could go watch it grow.
and there's one thing to remember too, and we got to make fun out of this. It's going to be a tough year, bar none. I mean, there's a lot of stuff up, and as you said, it's if we don't personalize it, and we really look at, we're ending the Piscean age, and we're moving into the age of Aquarius full bore. It started in the late 1800s, so now we're in those final strows. Also, I see in like 1987, we started with the harmonic convergence, and we said we had a window of 25 years to push this energy forward. And from all that I know, we've done a magnificent job of this and exceeded some of our galactic brothers and sisters or the
expectations.
And so, you know, we need to be reveling in the big picture of what's happening.
The big picture, yeah.
And please turn off the TV sets because they are trying to keep us in this amazing place of worry and fear. And
it's called full spectrum dominance.
Yeah.
You know, it's called the fear matrix, and it's, what it is that, or the control matrix, but there's the change, and I've always wondered what the Hopi Indians and the Native Indians were referring to as in terms of the great purification that would be going on, and the more I've thought about this incredible surge of energy that's coming in at this galactic shift, you know, time, And it's an alignment, you know, of our solar system, our galaxy, and beyond. I mean, it's like there's a DNA spiral that goes all the way back to the great central sun that our galaxy orbits around. And there's an alignment going on right now that is in our DNA, in our cells, in our consciousness. And there is more light coming in that brings up for transmutation, transformation, all that's less than light.
Yep.
So it's understandable that, obviously, the status quo institutions that no longer serve the purpose for which they were created are disintegrating.
Yeah.
And of course, it really comes back to the mediator, the great mediator, as above, so below, on earth as in heaven, is that spirit of cooperation, love.
Mm-hmm.
I like your words, coherence, co-creation, connection, community, collaboration, coexistence, coalescence, commingling. And it's that the co part of it that
it, yeah, it's like having a co-pilot, you know,
like
or co-author, or
and it's like all suffering is caused by the sense of separation, and this is the year we're supposed to get it all together.
Well, and Ben Franklin said a very long time ago that we need to hang together, or assuredly, we're all hanging
yep.
separately.
We must all hang together, or most assuredly, we'll all hang separately. Yeah, isn't that it? Well, and there's a cycle right now with Pluto that goes back to, it's at the same point it was in the larger cycles of astrological influence as it was back at the time of the revolution when he said that. And now it's going on for the planet, what's going on. The planet's going through what the United States went through. And what's unique now is that all of our freedoms of speech, assembly, petition, you know, our core constitutional freedoms are being upgraded and updated with the Internet. And it is a global village. There is no time or space. We are one. You know, with this instant everywhere interactive capability, and the only thing that's keeping us separate is the status quo institutions that don't want to change and want to create and manage, you know, the control matrix to basically maintain full spectrum dominance. So
right, and it's also our own thought forms between our own ears, and it's more of us.
True.
Go through what I call the revelation revolution and bust
the revelation revolution. Yeah.
Go through and you know, once you have a thought that shatters your old world, you can't go back there again, no more than you can stick a baby back up in the womb.
That's true.
You know, after
that's
true. It's out. And so this revelation revolution is happening everywhere. People are having to see what really is real, and it can be really shocking if you know, people bought the official program. One of the things that I want to share, which I just think is so exciting, and I did this program on Thursday night for a group of people at a business, and I was being accused over and over again throughout the night, oh, you are a real optimist. I said, no, this is really what's happening. And they go, no, you're just being an optimist. And because it was so strange for them to hear a lot of these things. But
yeah.
One thing that is just so exciting to me is that take away money, power, race, gender, status, any of those things. There's one thing that we all have in common, and that is that we are equally endowed as empowered co-creators, regardless.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't matter whether we're in a third world country, whether we're 5 years old or 95 years old, black, white, green, you know, male, female, when we remember who we really are, which are truly masters, and stop believing that third dimension material world programming
right.
in the matrix, and remember that we're masterful shamans, teachers, healers, sages, you know, Renaissance souls and visionaries, and that's when we make our decisions from that place, our own reality will be very, very different.
I think it's a process of being fully present with an affirmation, I call it confirmation, determination, and integration
mm-hmm.
of basically believing, you know, the whole spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, in terms of we are what we believe, we become what we believed, we are what we think, we become what we thought, we are what we feel, we become what we felt, mm-hmm. and we are what we do, we become what we did. And from a fully present understanding of that is that we are co-creators in the here and now of the future. And I mean, so when you've got everything on the trend line, you know, the linear trend line, from past to present into a future, you can't say that the future will be a logical linear extension of the past when things are going non-linear and people are awakening to, you know, a fully present understanding of basically we'll get what we ask for whether we know it or like it or not.
So I think it's important to really clarify what it means to be non-linear. And it's like steps. We're so used to do A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
But what I have been so aware of for the last couple of years is what I call one word, let go, recreate. It's just got a dash in between, let go, recreate. It's one word. And as soon as we let go of a belief system or let go of a person or whatever it is, instantly it's like inflows all of the things that we want. But unless we let go first, it can't come in.
Yeah.
And it's just like that yin and yang sign. So as soon as you decide, okay, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And then in comes all this new stuff and stuff you've never thought about. We've been kind of what I call living a life that's way too small for who we really are. So, like, I have a size 10 foot, sometimes 11, depends on what shoe they give me, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like if I put a 9 on, it hurts. If I put a 6 on, it really hurts.
Yeah.
And so we're being asked to be more of who we are.
Yeah.
And so
great spiritual beings having a human experience rather than humans trying to have spiritual experience.
So this year, one of the things we're going to be dealing with also is learning about healthy giving and receiving. So anyone who is self-employed, especially anyone who needs to allow themselves to receive appropriate money for their time and services. So it's like a half circle is giving, the other half is receiving. It's like an in-breath and an out-breath. That's going to be up for a whole bunch of people this year. So this whole idea of starving artists and that needs to go by the wayside.
Yeah. Yep. There is a nonlinear acceleration at the rate of change. And with that accelerator, it's like there's a way to catch that wave. And part of the catching that wave is that being fully present in the now,
yeah.
with that sense of where, you know, all time and space are relative, and you can basically transcend or, you know, transmute the habits of as a record and have that sense of an intuitive, some people would say instinctive, but just a knowing.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what the heart breath activates, too.
That's what the heart breath activates.
It's our gut feel, you know,
yeah.
and we bounce back and forth between our head and our heart, and most people haven't developed the ability to know which one is really speaking.
Yeah.
And so this year, it's going to be really important that people team up. I thought it was really interesting. And I'm apolitical, but Michelle Obama's mother is going to be living in the White House and taking care of the grandkids.
Yeah.
That is going to become more and more prevalent, that people are going to be living in more communal ways than we have lived, and part of it will be financial. Who cares what the catalyst for it is? But
yeah.
I really want to stress that your listeners don't fault themselves or pick on themselves in any way that they've had to, you know, do less than the American dream, and now they've had to move in with somebody. The only thing I caution you is to be careful who you're moving in with, that there's a level of consciousness that's paralleled so that you can co-create and cooperate together harmoniously.
I think that's part of the big shift. We're moving from an isolation in the sense of separateness, you know, where people don't even sit on their porches anymore and see people going by, or, you know, to where we're moving back to that sense of connection in social networks, in communities and families, and it's going to be huge for
But it is a new model of family. Family's being redefined. We needed, I believe, to get out of the Aussie and Harriet, you know, of the 50s, and all of that pretend kind of thing, the Hallmark Hollywood version of what relationships and family were supposed to be. We've done that now. So now it's time to come together, and what I have on my page here, I just love, it's time for individuated, free spirits to live together synergistically in community, living in harmony with nature, helping each other, and thriving because of mutual spiritual values and ideals.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that's going to be a big part of the evolution of our institutions, to where we can all agree, you know, the public can agree, what is the purpose for which our core institutions serve, and how do we best serve that purpose.
And so we can expect to have seniors having a purpose to get up in the morning because they got to take care of the youth.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be benefiting from this.
Yeah.
I know when my daughter, who's now 38, but when I was working as a single mom, and she was like five, six years old, I found a lady in our town home area, and her husband had passed. She had nothing to do. She was thrilled to have Renee come, and I paid her for it to boot, but she was thrilled to be grandma. She didn't have any grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
And I sought that out. This Aquarian way of living and being is pretty natural to me, I guess, because I grew up on a farm in central Wisconsin, and we grew up interdependent. We knew that, you know, we had to rely on each other. And
community.
The grandparents, and, you know, it took a village. And we got, like, to this place where we thought we could do it all by ourselves, and there was something wrong with us if we didn't. And you know, our youth need to be encouraged to find other adults or seniors who they really relate to and that they can spend time with, whether they're their, you know, legal genetic grandparents or not, doesn't matter. But we need to encourage that, and there's going to be a lot more working from home. And our homes are going to become more the center of our lives this year. Again, a lot of it's going to be financial, but who cares how we get there?
And I think this is a real keynote for Aquarius, is that spirit of freedom and opportunity to connect and synergize our God-given gifts and talents.
Well, one of my favorite sayings is, together we're better. But we have to remain this year individuated. That means we must remain true to our own soul and its purpose, but together we become more. And I'm also singing. So one of the things is, if everybody's just singing a chant that's all the same note, it can be nice. But as soon as somebody starts harmonizing and we get two or three notes working, and I sang with a choral group for 10 years, and sometimes we'd have six or eight parts coming in and out.
Wow.
Nobody was better than anybody else. Every note was needed. Every person was needed.
Yeah.
And we all just did our own thing. But we did it from the same song sheets.
Yeah. Well, the potential for linking the light of our God-given gifts and talents. The potential. And I include that with the internet and our social networks that are culturing a new sense of social conscience. When there is that way to basically take inventory of what we have to work with and then work to our optimum. And I look at those farmers, you know, talking about, you know, how they could plow up the White House and put in a model garden. Man, I said, what a vision. But that's, I think, what's going to happen in a lot of our social networks. And it's community building. I mean,
yes. It's grassroots. And it's not going to come from the top down. And
it's the net roots. It's the grassroots. And
yeah.
But at the same time, it's not limited in the linear sense to any one place.
Right.
Because now the communities, a lot of the communities are all over. They're a social network of maybe it's an education community, and it could be all over the planet.
Yeah. Well, one of the things too is real important. You know, getting our degrees via the internet and all this kind of stuff is very mechanistic.
Yeah,
what
true.
We really need right now, and if people are feeling any kind of negative emotions, it's probably because there's a very deep inner craving to spark each other.
Yeah.
And we really can do that because telepathically we can. But when like-minded people get in the same room,
yeah,
they synergize and it speaks volumes without even saying words. A lot of times we hold hands and get the energy going in a circle, and it's just amazing the healing that takes place without anybody doing anything.
Yeah.
So this year, one of the big things, too, is that people are going to crave intimacy, togetherness. It's not that we're being babies. We have needs, but we're not going to be coming from a place of neediness. But it's time for soulmate partnerships to flourish. It's time for people to have love affairs and pleasing companionship and joyful social events. But this deep inner longing to share our lives with a special someone is going to come from the depths of our soul. It's not just some kind of a idea that's fluttering through somebody's head.
I'm seeing a lot of, in that, it's not just the social part, or, you know, with an individual, but I'm seeing a lot of communities here, even locally, there are meetings going on and how we can, you know, become more of a community. It's amazing. I've never seen that before.
Well, and I'm seeing even in my local newspaper here how they're saying that with the small businesses going out, I'm in a small town, and the businesses are going to have to support one another. And now they've just put out last week a big plea to our local government to participate in this because they've got rules and regulations which guarantee people will fail. And
yeah.
So it's very interesting that even our mayor is now, you know, putting in requests out there for us all to work together as a community. So it's pretty exciting. I want to cover one thing here before we have to
okay.
go. And Dr. Bruce Lipton wrote a book a number of years ago called The Biology... What is it? Do you remember?
Of Belief.
The Biology of Beliefs. And I did not read that book, but I've heard so much about it.
So have I.
And he is a cellular biologist.
Yeah.
And his CD is now available called Spontaneous Evolution. And I haven't got it yet, but the book is going to be out very shortly on spontaneous evolution. It's co-authored with Stephen Brerman, who calls himself Swami Beyond Ananda.
Yes.
And they're both wonderful, wonderful men. But they have interviewed me in their chapters on coherence about how, when you know what your five core values are, how that creates a coherence with inside of the person, and then it creates a harmony in the external choices that are made. But what's so exciting is, and I have to look this up because I don't remember, Darwin came out with a theory, and people come up with all kinds of theories, and then we, you know, like the world was flat, and then we discovered it was round, and then, oh my God, now we got to change everything.
Yeah.
But right now, we are right at this moment when we're moving into these higher frequencies, these Aquarian energies, and Dr. Bruce Lipton, in Spontaneous Evolution, has a theory, and his theory is called the Spirit of Cooperation. and that evolution is based on cooperation and not competition. Darwin said survival of the fittest, which brought us into this competition mindset.
Yeah.
But we're a holistic being, you know. Everything has to work together and cooperate. In computers, things have to cooperate. And I'm really looking forward this year to really proving that this is the truth.
Well, I would love to do a show with you. Getting Dr. Lipton's CDs and some other material he has from the biology of belief, and really going into that. We're going to have to do a wrap here.
Yeah.
Janina, we really want to thank you for being on the show today. Look forward to having you on again.
And thank you so much for all that you're doing. And,
oh, you're welcome.
And if anyone hasn't read Christopher's bio, I think you need to do it. The man is absolutely amazing. He's lived about 15 lifetimes in this lifetime. And he's...
Talk about multitasking.
and he's moving forward with great gusto.
By God's grace.
Well, what else is there?
Well, thanks everyone for listening. We'll do this again in a couple weeks.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I've enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the Love Model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.